This is Community Radio. We do our best. I'm Paul Rowland. You are listening to KBOO Portland. We're going to go to a few messages from the station and be right back with you.
It's coming. It's almost here.
It's the next GiveGuard Big Give Day, Thursday, November 15th. There's no wrong time to give to KBOO. KBOO has real people making live radio all day, every day.
But when you give to KBOO in the Give Guide this Thursday, November 15th, you'll be entered into a raffle to win a Tender Loving Empire vinyl package, plus a year's worth of Laughing Planet.
If you're 35 or under, you'll also be entered into another raffle for a second gift package.
Go to kboo.fm/give on Thursday, November 15th to contribute.
That's kboo.fm/give this Thursday for your chance to win.
Support KBOO.
Where music makes the movement. Tune in
and turn up.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Rally to Protect Our Coast on Saturday, November 17th at 11 a.m. at Esther Short Park in Vancouver. Protect Our Coast rallies against new offshore drilling and exploration that is proposed off the West Coast. Offshore drilling and exploration threatens the ocean beaches and will impact the coast.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17.
Good topic for you today on this show. We're going to be talking about City Council, where Joanne Hardesty, the nominal host of this show, I'm hoping that we'll get Joanne back on the air soon. That hasn't all been sorted out, but we hope it will be. So once again, you're listening to Voices from the Edge. I'm your host, Linda Olson Osterlund, and this is a call-in talk radio show. And the topic today is the City Council's vote yesterday to not go forward with Mayor Wheeler and the police department's proposed ordinance to limit demonstrations. So that has been squelched and ended, and I'm hoping that I'll have some audio for you. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties here, but some audio for you from that City Council meeting where Chloe Udaly, Commissioner
Udaly spoke very eloquently about her opposition to the proposal, and also she had issued a very long list of questions, I think 48 separate questions, to the Portland police a week ago, and she had received some of the answers. And so I was not able to print out all the answers the police gave, but I certainly have a good article about it that I can tell you some information about that as well. So the topic is, I believe this is a victory for the people, for all of us who believe in our right to protest and our right to be on the streets. And even more so, it's a rebuke to the rising right-wing wave that's been trying to hit this city in the form of Patriot Prayer and Proud Boys. So I feel pretty good about the decision that happened yesterday, and I'm wondering how you feel about it and what you think about how this has been going. I also heard, and pardon me for spreading a rumor if this is not true, that Patriot Prayer had talked about coming to Portland this Saturday, tomorrow. I did not find anything referencing that, so I'm not able to verify that, but I was told that by another person at the city council yesterday. So we may see another test of how things have gone. One of the strongest things that Commissioner Udaly addressed to the police in her questions, and she made sure to say that these questions weren't hers alone personally, but were questions that she sought from the community, from organizations, from other peoples who have long experience as activists here in Portland. But the questions pointedly were pointing at the apparent bias of the Portland police to the right-wing demonstrators, and that this had been shown over and over again at protests. I do actually agree with that, because I've seen it at multiple protests. So all in all, very good victory. And I want to hear from you about it and how you feel about it and what you think about it. I do want to know if we can play Chloe Udaly. I believe, yeah, my engineers let me know that we do have that clip for you. This is about 5 minutes. It's Chloe Udaly at the city, it's Commissioner Udaly, I should say, at the city council yesterday, talking about the ordinance and why she was voting no.
Please call the roll.
Udaly.
I want to thank the police chief, her command staff, and the city attorney for answering my questions last week. My office received the written responses to these questions yesterday. We have submitted them to the council clerk, so they will become a part of the record, and we will post them on our website and push the link out through social media so the public can read them as well. For members of the public who were surprised by my line of questioning last week or expressed gratitude that I was finally addressing this issue, I want to explain that this was an extremely rare opportunity for us to have a public dialogue with the police bureau and the city attorney, that this is actually nothing new for me. I just haven't had a chance to really speak about it publicly. As I mentioned previously, these questions were generated by myself, my office staff, constituents, and advocacy organizations. I asked them with multiple intentions. First and foremost, because these are questions that Portland activists have been waiting years and sometimes decades to hear the answer to. Secondly, to illustrate the many concerns I have with this ordinance. And finally, to give the police bureau an opportunity to clarify possible points of misunderstanding with the public. I also want to go on record as saying that I believe the mayor and the police chief have good intentions with this ordinance. Even if they can't be as explicit as I can, I know that they want to stop right-wing extremists from disrupting our city and threatening our residents as much as I do. And I also know that many of our officers are committed to this objective as well. However, because of how existing policies have been and are being applied, I cannot vote to expand their powers. We are trapped in a dangerous dynamic between right-wing extremists, counter-protesters, and police with no clear path forward. This poses a threat to public safety, and there is a growing frustration among the public that we can't seem to manage these protests effectively. I share their frustrations. And I agree that something must change. However, this is not an issue that can be solved by policing alone. We need advocacy organizations to step up, to continue to step up, and offer us meaningful policy solutions and community supports. We need a concerted community effort to shut these right-wing extremists down. Yes, they have constitutional rights that must be protected regardless of how repugnant we find their beliefs, but businesses have the choice of who they choose to serve, and if these groups don't meet their community standards, they shouldn't be helping them peddle hate, raise money, print t-shirts, or publish websites. And if they do meet their community standards, we shouldn't support them with our business. Nationalists, bigots, racists, and fascists are not protected classes. We need our colleagues at every level of government to speak out against hate, and specifically the hate groups who are targeting our city. And we need the media to bring an objective and critical eye to these matters to better help the public understand the issues that we're contending with. Our policies, I'm going to repeat something I said last week because I think it bears repeating. Our policies in our police bureau may have to be content neutral, but I don't have to remain neutral in my remarks. Right-wing extremists pose a greater threat to our national security than ISIS. This is not my personal opinion. This is a fact known by federal law enforcement. Counter-protesters are not the problem. They're a byproduct of the problem, and I'm grateful to the thousands of Portland residents who've engaged in peaceful protest in opposition to this administration, in opposition to the global rise of fascism, and in opposition to homegrown racism and bigotry. I am very concerned about the false equivalencies being made between right-wing extremists and left-wing counter-protesters, both inside and outside of this building. There's a tendency to paint all counter-protesters with the same brush based on the worst actors, when people committing violence and vandalism are a tiny minority of the overall resistance playing out on our streets. And when that behavior is often provoked by the police bureau's crowd control tactics. Counter-protesters occupy a broad spectrum of the left, from moderates to radicals, and the vast majority of them are peaceful. Yet I often hear them all characterized as lawless anarchists. I would expect a more nuanced understanding of left-wing protesters than the antiquated caricatures of the bomb-throwing anarchist. Anarchism at its heart is a political philosophy based on mutual aid and direct democracy, autonomous individuals working together for the greater good in a non-hierarchical system. It is not an inherently violent belief system, and in fact has a strong tradition of nonviolence and pacifism. I'll take anarchists over fascists any day.
Thank you.
And that was Chloe Udaly, City Commissioner Chloe Udaly, at yesterday's City Council meeting, saying why she is voting no on this ordinance, and doing a really eloquent job of stating her case. And I do believe we have some callers on the line. The first one is...
Good morning.
Good morning. I didn't catch your name.
Hey, yeah, it sounded like your switchboard person was like kind of learning the system today, but that's fine.
Well, yeah, they know the system for music, but not for talk shows. It's a little bit different time. Yeah.
My name's Lou.
Lou, hi. Good morning.
I was calling in about... a couple things that you mentioned. It's great you put Chloe's speech on. That's why many of us voted for and donated to her. She's representing. There's flyers out in different parts of town about the Proud Boys. I think you said at the initial, you might have just gotten in, that tomorrow's Saturday. Saturday is two more days. And the flyers say
you're right.
Proud Boys are supposed to be doing this Defend Men rally downtown in Portland on Saturday during the day, basically to counter... alleged, it's not written that way, but alleged lies by women against men and boys. And there's you may already know, you may not, there's also a survivors counter-protest at Chapman Square downtown on Saturday from 12 noon to 3 p.m. So that sounds...
So, Lou, the survivors one is at Chapman Park, and what time?
12 noon to 3 p.m. on Saturday, 2 days from now.
And at 12 noon. And then what the Proud Boys are saying, they're going to be where?
Well, the flyer doesn't really say. I mean, I don't know if you followed Proud Boys exactly over time since they've been around for 2 years now under Trump. But basically, they will show up downtown, and then we'll see how the proposed ordinance by Ted Wheeler not getting approved affects police keeping two groups or more than two groups separated. We'll just see.
Well, and didn't the last time they came into town, didn't they head over and try to go at the Black Lives Matter, Don't Shoot PDX?
Correct, yeah. About
And so they intend to go cause trouble. Certainly, they're angry at all of us women, huh? I think it's pretty funny they're going to come down there about a misogynist message. I mean, I wish we had all the pink hats just to make them sick.
True. Well, there was three of us that I know of that went to anti-racist forum that Urban League did at Portland State a couple days ago about Mulligatawny Roth being killed by Eastside White Pride a few years ago. And basically, Proud Boys and Trump and similar groups globally, their thing is just to pick any issue and then see who they can antagonize into doing their sorts of tactics, as opposed to the tradition of nonviolent anarchism that Chloe referenced, per se. So there's also a thing in a week, and we'll give information from Portland State people to KBOO people. It's a forum at PSU a week from Saturday, and it's just a discussion forum. It's not a protest or a counter-protest.
Mm-hmm.
On immigration, Trump, and the politics of violence, which attempts to, with guest speakers, look at, that's on Saturday afternoon at PSU in a week, attempts to look at connections between fascism internationally, local right-wing, alt-right, negative actions to provoke people.
So that's going to be the. So that's going to be. You don't have the date, but a week from.
I think it's the 14th. I think a week from. Let's see. Is it
14th? 21st.
No. 21st. Yeah. The Saturday after Thanksgiving. Right. So I was also going to ask you if you had some thoughts about how the election locally or nationally will affect countering. Both Trump nationally, and it's kind of a big question, countering Trump nationally as well as countering these kind of, what would you call it, provoking sorts of, the Randy from Portland State, who's a history, he used to be a teacher at Portland State in sociology, Randy Blazek talked the other day at Mulligatawny's thing, and basically said that, and I think Ani's program in particular has focused on how fascism developed in the past. It's just there hasn't been ever in the United States a visible fascist leader who says he's a nationalist now, Trump, but not quite saying, oh yeah, I'm racist and I'm fascist. So I don't know if you have a thought, you may not, other callers may, about future steps to counter it and then to take back power, like it seems like city council is doing in Portland, but to do it nationally in D.C. So that's kind of my last thought. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Lou, for that. I'll go ahead to the next caller. I don't really have any thoughts I want to share about that right now, except that I do think our city council will be stronger with Joanne Hardesty on it when she joins it in January. And I think that will mean that we can have more progressive stuff come out of city council. We have another caller on the line. You're going to have to tell me your name today. I'm not hearing it in my ear normally. So, hello? Anyone there? Oh, I must have lost our caller. So sorry about that. The number to call is 503-231-8187. And I invite all of you out there in the listening audience to, if you have something to say, a concern or a comment about the Portland ordinance to limit protests and really about the right-wing fascists coming to our city and apparently coming again this Saturday with a misogynist message. So call us, 503-231-8187. I want to hear what you have to say about the rise of fascism around the nation and this particular battle with those with that going on here. I know that the mayor and the police would not characterize what happened yesterday as being about the fascists directly. They would say it would be about having demonstrations that are safer. But I don't think that really is the issue, because over and over again, we did see the police side with the right wing and allow behavior on their parts, like having guns in a parking garage looking over a demonstration. That kind of behavior wouldn't be tolerated for one moment from a left-wing group. So call us, 503-231-8187, and we do have another caller on the line. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Edie.
Hi, Edie.
And I was going to say some of the stuff that Lou said. Also, I just really want to encourage folks to thank media organizers and council members and staff for letting us, ironic because that's their job, to have time to hear Thursday and to get some of the feedback and to listen and to be humble and courageous enough to consider changing their mind under so much attack. I wanted to say that Saturday, survivors are everywhere and survivors speak out. It would be really good that lots and lots and lots of us show up in solidarity and safety and protection and giving empathy and listening and moral support and a space of safety for people who have been harmed by sexual assault, rape, etc. And this Him Too reaction at Terry Swamp Plaza by the fascists is a reaction against the Me Too movement. So if we can show up with tissue and snacks and love and prayer in our bodies, the sheer number of wide range of people across the political, religious, socioeconomic spectrum gives more protection. It is making it less likely for the police to be violent. It gives us better media coverage and more protection and moral support for survivors.
Now, you just said that the... Edie, 1 second. I want to ask you a question. You had said that the Proud Boys or the Patriot Prayer were going to be at Terry Schrunk Plaza. Have you read that somewhere?
Yeah, you can also look at Rose City Antifa and other groups that are watching them.
Uh-huh.
So my understanding...
Ooh, could you stop with the dishes? It's very hard to hear you. Edie?
What?
Could you stop washing dishes? We can hear it very loudly on this end.
I think you have two phones.
Wow.
That's why I've heard, last time I called, I've heard a busy signal and a hang up. So it's someone else.
Oh, there's someone else doing that at the same time. You were not washing dishes just now.
No, I'm nowhere near water.
Oh, well, that's pretty interesting. We'll have to figure out if we've got wires crossed here a little bit.
You have two phones going on. Okay, so I wanted folks to give prayer for moral support, bring materials on resources and messages, hold up big signs, hand out leaflets on self-talk and messages that people can give themselves as survivors to counter the insidious internalized hate messages and shame. We also need to have folks show up with, love, snacks, water, first aid supplies, whatever, but mostly love. When we have discovered over the last several centuries that the best way to counter neo-Nazis, fascism, etc., is to come out in overwhelming numbers, not in my town, never again. We had over 40 years
so,
ago.
So, Edie, are you suggesting that that's the characteristics of the survivors meeting is going to be a not in our town? It's going to be saying that to them?
Let us be there to give moral support to survivors who are being mimicked and saying, against women. Let's have it for survivors and support at Chapman Square between 3rd and 4th, between Madison and Main, from noon to 3. And then after 3 in Terry Strong Plaza is the permit for the haters. And we can make sure that we have folks along Madison as a kind of a barrier and protection. We can also counter the lies the police and the media put out all the time, blaming our protectors, the Antifa. We can also show up Friday at 4:30 at Portland City Council, City Hall, for the We Will Not Be Erased about trans people.
Enough. I think we've got enough things for people to try to go to for this time. So Friday for trans people at City Council at 5, Saturday...
outside City Hall at 4:30.
City Hall at 4:30. And then we've got the two others on Saturday. Let's go ahead and see if we have another caller on the line. All right. Hello, are you there? Hi. Is there a caller on the line? I'm sorry, we don't have anybody there. switching with the lines, some difficulty there. So that was Edie telling us about demonstrations going on this weekend. So clearly there's actions to take moving forward. In terms of how I feel about this whole thing about, you know, the government trying to put limits on demonstrations, really at all, I know that it was acknowledged in the city council meeting where the ordinance was first announced and where it was first talked about, that the Supreme Court has in the 90s ruled that they can, that permits can have something to say about time and place and numbers of people that show up. I, however, would prefer to go with the Supreme Court before it started limiting our freedoms, because if you read the Constitution, I mean, really the First Amendment is only about one long sentence, and it just says you no law, no action to abridge our rights on these issues. And so I like this. This is the way the Supreme Court talked about it in 1939, following a case there to try to limit our ability to protest. And this is a quote. Wherever the title of streets and parks may rest, they have immemorially been held in trust for the use of the public, and time out of mind have been used for purposes of assembly, communicating thoughts between citizens, and discussing public questions. Such use of the streets and public places has from ancient times been a part of the privileges, immunities, rights, and liberties of citizens, end quote. I think that's the way it was meant in the Constitution, and I think that's the context in which we should see attempts to limit protests. You know, I know a lot of people feel really like we should never make it hard for drivers to get around, people to get home, but part of it, taking the streets, is communicating to our fellow citizens, and often that may be the urgency of a situation, say when our country's about to start a war, things like that, or other issues that people feel urgently must be heard. Part of them being heard by their fellow citizens is indeed having, you know, streets filled with protesters, and I don't think that's wrong. I don't like to sit and wait when it's something I'm not interested in, but I can do it. I can be patient because I'm a citizen of a free country, and this is the way it gets expressed. I'd love to hear from you about all of this. The number to call is 503-231-8187, and I believe we have another caller on the line. Hi, good morning. This is Linda.
Yeah, hi.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your name? Hi?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
Okay, hi, Jeremy. Oh, I think we're having problems with our lines.
All right, this is a board op who's never done this in probably about 25 years, Paul. What I did is I put everybody on the same line. I'm just figuring this out. So I'm going to have to clear the slate, okay? You're all going to have to call back, and I'll put you on separate lines, okay? Thank you.
So that was, and, you know, I want to say a little thing about this, because sometimes we have these kind of difficulties, and, you know, when we've been here a long time, we go, oh, that's so frustrating. This is KBOO, but, you know, I used to go to the Matt Dishman Community Center. This is relevant, let me tell you. And that center was not always its best looking. Sometimes it was pretty ragged looking. And then I found out that they have over 250,000 visits a year from people that, you know, many of those visits are somebody, you know, going every day because that's their gym. But my point is that this is a volunteer organization, and we really have hundreds of people coming through the station 24 hours a day. People come through and use the equipment and change it, and we're all volunteers, and we're all in training. Some of us have gotten a lot of training. Some of us are just beginning. I just think it's important for people to know that, so that, you know, it's just part of the process of being a community radio station, and, you know, and appreciate us for our difference that way. I think you probably do. Most of you listeners are pretty loyal. So now I'm going to see. I believe we have the phones ready, and we have our first caller.
Not always sometimes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, now we're hearing playback of me, which does not make sense either. What are you hearing?
Hello?
Hi, this is Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is who? This is Arthur.
Hi, Arthur. I don't know if we can go forward with your... Go ahead and speak.
So I was calling because I can hear the radio, and I'm interested in a lot of the topics you're talking about. But I think everything that's going on is a lot bigger than what is just happening in Oregon. It's like a systematic thing. It's funny to see when people act when they're being affected, but they don't act when other people are being affected. You know, people are dying every day because of different things in different situations. But we have to understand that everything is affecting everybody. So the fact that this right-wing Trump support people are now out to come to Portland and affect people here in Portland, it's like they've been doing this. This is a part of a system that we've had for many years. You know, we've had this same issue dealing with people being killed for no reason just because of how we feel, and there's been no support over that. You know, you've had black people being killed every day due to police violence, and there's no support for that. It's like soon as certain people are affected, soon as certain communities are affected, now everyone wants to stand up and say, like, this is wrong. So, yeah.
I hear what you're saying, Arthur. You know, I do think you say, and nobody shows up, but I do think that there are people who do show up for those other causes and do really care about them, not in the numbers that you're talking about. And I know that we're much more likely to show up at something that we feel personally affects us, and maybe we ought to recognize that all of the things like a racist killing of a person by the police does affect all of us. It isn't just the issue of the people who are being shot at. I agree with you on that. But I think I'm going to applaud every time people take action to oppose oppression, as long as that action is, you know, reasonable and just. So I'm glad to have your opinion too, Arthur, and thank you for calling in. I believe we have other callers on the line. All right, you're now on the line. You're going to have to tell me your name.
Yes, this is Ross.
Ross, hi, Ross. Thanks for calling back.
Good morning. No problem. You know, there's so many good things going on the left today. I hate to see all this focus on this other stuff, but let me just say, maybe the best way to begin my comment is to say that I very, very strongly object to imagining that the Antifa people are our protectors. You know, I think if you call the Antifa people our protectors, I think one is totally misunderstanding the whole concept of nonviolent civil disobedience. The protectors in civil disobedience is our moral courage. We don't need a bunch of thugs with black masks on, and those thugs with black masks on are just a bunch of rotting red meat that attracts those fascist flies.
And we are
becoming a megaphone of the right wing if we keep focusing on this.
All right,
they
Ross,
are
I
want
to I want to I want to say something to you, because I've been down at many of these demonstrations, including the one where they kettled people. And I'm not an anarchist philosophically, and I don't.
They are not anarchists.
Wait, and I don't belong to an anarchist organization. But every time that I've been down and Antifa has been there, they've had their medical people, they've had their people bringing water, they've had, these are those lying punks of meat you were talking about, kind women and men who have brought refreshments and water for the people who are there, who are going to be there for a long time, who brought in medical supplies to protect us against tear gas or pepper spray if it's being used, and who, given that I've got gray hair and sometimes can look like an old lady, who want to help people like me, or, you know, if they see that I'm like overcome by the heat or something like that. And I've watched them rush up and help many people. And the other thing is that when I've been facing a phalanx of the police in their fully armored up appearance, facing me, and within 15 minutes of the start of our demonstration telling me I have to disperse with their weapons right there in front of me, and then I have in between me and them the Antifa people, I feel protected. I really
no,
do
you're
because
being
no, wait,
by,
no.
They're putting
Arthur,
you at danger.
Arthur, I've been more in danger by the Portland police every single time.
Give
I promise you.
Give the police
that.
A flower.
That police don't care if I give them a flower once they start
yes,
with the flashbang
grenades. Because they are human beings just like you and me, and we love them just like we love everybody else.
Of course they're human beings, but in their role as police, they are behaving badly.
They are our protectors.
Well, Arthur, I definitely support you in having that point of view and appreciate you bringing it to the air. I'm going to let you go now and see if we don't have another caller. I have one other topic related to this I do want to bring up, which is the Oregonian editorial done by Elizabeth I don't know how to say her last name. It's Hovde. But do we have another caller on the line right now? Okay. Hi.
I hope so.
Hi. Who's this?
Is it me?
Is it? Yeah, you.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Jeremy, hi. Thanks for calling back.
Three times, anyway.
Oh, really? Thanks for calling back.
And my apologies. I think that's Paul
It's
a remark about Board of Refresher School. It's not his job. He's been up all night, and without him, there would be no one.
Yeah, there would have been chaos. It would have fallen through. You know,
well, there is chaos, but the chaos would have been much worse.
Well,
anyway.
You know, it's probably as simple as one message that went astray, or one person that was sick and couldn't get in here. We don't know,
sure.
But let's go on, Jeremy. So, what did you want to have to say?
I am not a fan of our sainted, our unsainted chief of police, and I am mildly nauseated when Hugh Daly, who often says the right thing, I think she wants to be mayor or something. Why else would she be sucking up to our obviously awful police chief? And I wondered I was there at the testimony last week, and
well, you know, Jeremy,
I do not believe that either Outlaw or Wheeler, who clearly wants to be at least governor, Wheeler seems to be positioning himself far to the right of his silver spoon, you know, George Bush.
Well, we could start calling him Wheeler the Weasel. Start calling him Wheeler the Weasel. Maybe we can stop his governor run before it starts.
I'm your age, Linda, and I never called cops pigs. Pigs have an IQ higher than some humans I know.
So you don't want to disparage weasels?
I don't know enough about weasels. I don't think they're particularly pleasant. Wheeler is seemingly pleasant, and that's why he's dangerous. Because this is this whole sort of let's kettle them up. This is just awful stuff. It's so violative of the First Amendment. It doesn't even bear discussion. And I can't believe that when he first proposed it as an emergency. That was really amusing because that required a unanimous vote, so that was totally hopeless. So he's sort of incompetent in his authoritarian impulse.
You know, with relationship to that, when he was, if you can go to city council, you can go to YouTube and get the city council meeting on it. And at the end, he was the last of the roll call to take the vote on the ordinance. When he spoke, he was saying one of the lessons he learned was, and he turned to everybody on the stage like this was a really important lesson. He said, when you've got an issue that might have some legal questions, some legal issues, and you've got your attorneys, he said, and I thought that there's going to be other legal people looking at it. And I thought he was going to say, you should bring them in and listen to them first. But no, he said, you should make sure you get your legal people to the media first. When they frame it in the media, that's what counts. And I thought that was so interesting that was his answer to, because at the meeting a week ago, both the Lawyers Guild and the ACLU did a good job of taking it apart legally.
As was Joanne.
Yes. In fact, I think the city attorney should feel very uncomfortable in his job at this point, because clearly he didn't do a good job of vetting that
I think he should
ordinance.
I think he should quit or be fired. But fire,
Well, I don't know if he should be fired, but I think they're all going to be stewing on why this didn't go better. I think they actually did think it would go better and that they would end up with enough votes. It was a 3-2 against. It was Nick Fish, Hugh Daly, and Fritz who voted against the ordinance.
Sure.
All right. Well, Jeremy,
anyway,
thank you.
I have one other thing to say.
Okay.
About Joanne, because I got to they it was very weird the way that they were policing City Hall last week, because there were many, many empty seats when I was finally let in, and they were clearly trying, as people left, they weren't letting anybody else in.
Yeah.
But I finally caught up with her, and I have this I think interesting proposal for some volunteer work I'd be willing to do, and similar to what Project Response does. And I was just trying to imagine, had Linda Smith taken office, would she
you mean Loretta Smith?
A set I'm sorry, Loretta Smith, would she have taken 5 seconds to listen? Joanne took 5 minutes to listen to me, told me to call her chief of staff, and it was just, you know, it's like, my God, this is like a real human being.
Who you can approach,
You know, yeah, I mean, I am an anarchist. I used to wear shirts on election days, had pissed in the voting booth, and I rarely vote for people, but I voted for Joanne happily. And
all right.
I'm thrilled that she's elected.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it.
But I hope she doesn't, you know, do this play nice thing about, you know, I think we were an outlaw, have, you know, we do not have bad intentions.
Oh, so let me get back to that,
I
Jeremy.
I firmly believe they do have bad intentions.
All right, but let me get back to that, Jeremy, just for a minute.
Okay, thank you.
You were saying that both of them were, you thought being, you know, why were they sucking up to the police? I didn't hear it that way at all. In fact, I think Udaly's only comment was that she believed that that Chief Outlaw and the mayor put this forward with good intentions, and that they may not be able to say it as explicitly, but that she believes they do not want fascist groups coming in to Portland and you know, wreaking havoc. I did not hear that as I'm now siding with them. I didn't hear that as sucking up. I know in my own work, when I was in administrative positions in social work, that, you know, you need to work with people ongoingly. So you don't call them names to their face unless they're doing something really horrendous right then. You just work with them for the position they're in. And I expect that Joanne will do the same. And I don't think that's sucking up. I didn't hear any, you're wonderful, I love you, you guys are here with the community in mind. I didn't hear a lot of sucking up myself. So that's an answer to what Jeremy had to say. I believe we probably have another caller on the line. Jeff, thanks for calling in.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me. I'm just calling in response to the caller before Jeremy. I think his name was Russ.
Ross, yeah.
Ross. And I'm over 60. I'm a business owner in Portland. My wife and I are pretty politically active. We've been down to quite a few protests. And we were down at the big one where the police were kettling and shot the person in their helmet with shock bang grenades. And as we were leaving the protest, because the police were, you know, pushing everybody out, we heard there were some Proud Boys trying to leave a parking garage, and we were standing out there with some Antifa people to protest them. And as they were coming out of the garage, they tried to run over all of us and sprayed us all with pepper spray from large canisters out the window of the truck. If it had not been for Antifa, my wife and I would have been seriously injured. And their medics came, were treating us. Other people associated with Antifa created a wall around us while the medics were treating us to protect us in case the cops came up, which they were coming up. And they actually sent somebody out to speak to the police to let them know that they were performing medical attention on some folks that had been pepper sprayed. And if they could please just not arrest us, that would be nice. So I just wanted to address that, because Ross and a lot of folks in my age group in particular are very misinformed about Antifa. And they are a very positive group that's trying to support the left. And, you know, I don't agree with everything they stand for, but I will tell you this, they are good people out there to protect people from the violence of the fascist right. And that's all I've got to say. And well, I appreciate the call.
Thank you so much. And I am completely in agreement with the last caller. I hope we have another caller on the line. We don't. I'm going to throw out that number again then so that we can get you on the line. It's 503-231-8187. We're talking about the city council meeting that resulted in the ordinance to limit demonstrations here in Portland being defeated. It was defeated by a 3-2 vote. The mayor and Saltzman were the only two voting for it, and the others, Amanda Fritz, Chloe Udaly, and Nick Fish, were the ones who voted against it. And I was surprised about Nick Fish. Maybe others wouldn't be, but I don't always see him as a vote like that. And he did speak about how difficult it was for him to not give some deference to the police chief and the mayor for their background and experience. And if they thought this was a good thing, he should give them a little bit more deference, but he did vote against it for good reasons, which is he also questioned the constitutionality of it as well. I wasn't familiar with, so maybe you are not familiar with how easy it is to watch what went on City Council. So I'm going to tell you that now because I think it's a useful thing for a citizen. So if you have a computer, you can just put in Portland City Council meetings, and one of the choices that will come up is the YouTube channel that plays them, and you can go to that, and it's easy to move through it. So if you don't want to listen to the whole hours of things, but you want to hear what so-and-so said or a certain measure that was later in the day, you can easily see those yourself. And I recommend you do it when it's an issue that you care about. And the way you know if it's an issue you care about is just, put in your search engine, Portland City Council agenda, and the date if you want, and bam, it'll be right there for you. For those of you who don't use computers or smartphones, I'm sorry, I don't have as easy a way to do it, but I'm pretty sure you can call City Hall and find out what's on the agenda of an upcoming meeting. So I want to have other people call in. One thing that's been getting a lot of controversy around this was Elizabeth Hoved, I think is her name. She's an editorialist for the editorial provider for the Oregonian, and she, on October 28th, posted a article saying about Proud Boys and about how she went to several of their meetings, Patriot Prayer and Joy Gibson. And it was a really favorable portrayal of Joey Gibson. There's been a lot of backlash against that. I want to say that this woman is also the woman who wrote an editorial when the babies were being snatched from their parents' hands, and many maybe still are. And I'm hearing lately that of that 2,000, there's 111 or so who still have not been united back with their mothers. These are children of all ages. And she said that people were reacting so strongly and calling it children in cages because they just couldn't wait to jump on the anti-Trump bandwagon. And I thought, wow, everybody I know who was a parent, they were reacting from a gut punch, the very thought of being your children being torn away from them with no knowledge of when they would get them back, when they would see them, and the trauma that would put on their children as well as the parents. Most people I saw had a gut punch to the stomach about that, but she thought it wasn't so bad. So I think she's a pretty right-wing editorial person. I don't know if she should be fired or not. People have been calling for it. These are real opinions that are out there. I hate her having a large platform like the Oregonian for it, but that's part of our topic today. We do have a couple callers on the line. Ron, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Linda. I wanted to say to that gentleman who was so loving about the police, I was in a situation once where thousands of people were on the streets of Houston trying to buy tickets to the playoffs, and the cops wanted everybody to get up on the curb, and they were coming along beating people back with their nightsticks. Wow. That's how loving the cops
are. Yeah, Mr. Loving, as you're just, and you're just out there trying to go to an event. You know, you're not even politically protesting.
No, we were just out trying to buy tickets. Yep. But that's their the way that they show, you know, that they love and protect, serve and protect.
Yep.
So that gentleman needs to get out in some protest and find out what the situation really is like.
Yeah.
Get on the left side. Get on the side of the left people and see what happens.
Yep, I agree with you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for calling in. We have another caller on the line. Linda, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Just one comment. I mean, what would happen if Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer had a demonstration and nobody came to watch them? Nobody came to counter protest. They just got ignored. They didn't get the attention they wanted.
What would happen?
That's
a good question, I think, Linda. And I know that my son asked me the same question when I was going to go down to the one where the flashbang grenades were going off. And,
right.
And he was, he's down in California. He goes, Mom, don't go. It's dangerous. And
right.
I've been on hundreds of protest, so I do know how to protect myself, but I appreciate his caring for me. What I want to say is what they do is they run, they find people who either look like somebody they want to beat up, or they go after them. This last time they came piling into town, there was no planned demonstration there to meet them. They started going through town looking for their targets, and they went to the demonstration about, I want to say, Don't Shoot PDX was putting on about the most recent police shooting, and they went to them and tried to attack them. They will attack people.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, there's a really good, let me tell you about this show. There's a really good
attention they want.
Yeah. If they'll get their attention one way or another, and part of it is by beating up people and causing problems. Okay. When Occupy ICE was going on and the police had come to break it up, you know, at the very end to take it apart, they came into town twice and tried to, and I've got an article in front of me where someone quotes the kind of taunts and things were saying. They came twice to try to provoke a fight with those people who were being kicked out of ICE. And it was very obvious from the language they used and what they were doing. But I want to tell you and the whole audience, Frontline, that program Frontline, which I see on OPB, recently did an hour show following Proud Boys and other right-wing groups like this, and you really should see it. It's very, very scary. You know, high-level engineers who on their weekends go to Charlottesville and beat people almost to death, and other people who, and these groups, Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer, have had members arrested for their car reversing and driving backwards purposely into a crowd of protesters.
Wow.
So they're violent. So I think that's the answer, what happens if we don't go.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. And we have another caller on the line, I believe. Daniel, thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay, good. Just thanks for having this show. It's nice to listen to this morning. I think
you're
this welcome. Is a subject that has been ignored by our city council for far too long. I have personally called Chloe's office to ask them to address what I believe is the out-of-control Portland Police Department, and the police department that I see that literally protects right-wing fascists in our city. Now, I'm not, you know, I am all for Antifa. Antifa are anti-fascists. Our grandparents were Antifa in World War I.
Yes, World War II.
You know, this is what drives me nuts about all of this propaganda against Antifa. And it has all been created by our news media and by people on the right, just like Republicans use the word liberal, right? It's the very same thing. But I heard Chloe's speech, and I just am reminded again why I voted for her. And I was so glad to hear her speak like that. But I wanted to say, I heard you, somebody said that, maybe it was you perhaps, that they said that Wheeler and Outlaw's proposal was proposed with good intentions. I don't believe it was proposed with good intentions.
I was quoting Commissioner Udaly.
Right. Okay. Very good. Well, perhaps she needed to be a little diplomatic for 1 second there. But Daniel Outlaw should be fired the second that she vocally and in public made fun of left-wing protesters and bragged about violence perpetrated against them, that we kicked their butts. She should have been fired. And it just shows you how much Ted Wheeler is just a spineless, useless mayor that he's literally must be in the back pocket of a Portland Police Bureau. I don't know how much they you know, operate in each other's back pockets, but it just makes me sick. I'm just glad that this is being addressed. I'm not Antifa. I've been to a few protests. I'm very left-wing, and I believe many more people should be protesting the fascism that's exploding in this country. And I have seen for myself the Portland police literally causing problems, literally instigating problems, literally going after very peaceful left-wing protesters and rushing at them and starting the fights. It is, as far as I'm concerned, it's the Portland police and the police bureau that really need to be addressed in this city. And I hope that this starts a conversation as such. And I'm so glad Joanne got voted in.
Yes.
Oh my God, I am just so thrilled with that. Hopefully we can elicit some positive change now on this front. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Daniel. I really appreciate your point of view.
Great.
I believe we have
thank you so much.
You're welcome. I believe we have another caller on the line. Joel, thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I had two things. First one is basically what was the Saturday dates or the Saturday times for the protest downtown?
Well, there was a Saturday at noon in Chapman Square for survivors, you know, like Me Too survivors.
Yep.
And then I heard that at 3, Patriot Prayer was going to be at Terry Schrunk Plaza, and that there were going to be protest and counter protesters there. And then I also heard about I'm looking for my notes here while I was trying to write down what people were saying. Those are the only two I really caught. There's also something at 4 o'clock about another topic. Sorry, I can't remember right now.
And it's
at City Hall at 4 p.m. And it's about trans rights. Yeah.
And that's on Friday, right?
I thought it was on Saturday as well.
Okay, I thought they said Friday, but you're probably right.
We'll have to look it up again.
Yeah. Hey, and one other thing, I wanted to encourage anybody going to these protests. Like, anybody who has a problem with Antifa, they just have to, like, what's the name? It's anti-fascist. So if you are not anti-fascist, what are you? So I'd like to encourage everybody going to dress as themselves. The more that we tribalize and the more that we try to look alike and look like a army, the more we invite violence. So those are my 2 cents.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. Thanks for calling. Do we have another caller on the line? We don't. We do have a minute for one more caller. If you want to get that call in, it's you. It's 503-231-8187. Well, it sounds like there's going to be a city full of activity this weekend, important activity. I'm sorry I don't have the specific information about that trans demonstration. Is it on? I'm going to ask my engineer if it's on Friday or Saturday. Do you know? No, we're not sure if it's on Friday or Saturday. I thought they were saying it was on the same day as these other demonstrations at 4 p.m. But downtown Saturday, there's certainly going to be a lot of activity, and it's an opportunity for people to come down and show your support for survivors of the Me Too movement if you want to, and knowing that the Patriot Prayer is coming in with a misogynist message. Their whole thing today, this time, is protecting men against mean women somehow. I can't even get it. So I don't know what's going to happen about that, but the suggestion was after the survivors demonstration, people could move on to being a counter-protesters to where Patriot Prayer was going to be, which is Terry Schrunk Plaza, starting at 3, I believe. So lots of stuff to do this weekend if you want to be involved politically. Always try to be safe, be thoughtful, you know, have a good plan for how to get out of there. I always recommend having a buddy when you head downtown for a protest. I think we have another caller on the line, though. Okay, we do. Oh, no, we don't. Sorry. Somebody called in, but not apparently to get online. I also was mentioning that editorial by Elizabeth Hove, if anybody wants to have anything to say about that. I think we should watch her. I think she's a lightning rod for the extreme right wing. And, you know, she claims to be a mother, and she does talks about mothering issues in her column. And yet here she is, you know, since those children were separated from their families, they're still separated. Maybe she's going to come back and say, oh, well, they deserved it, or their parents weren't really their parents, or something like that. But I think when your ideology overrules your heart, or perhaps she never had a heart that could care about other people, maybe other people of color, maybe people coming from other parts of the world, she can't extend her sympathy and compassion to understand the horror that's been visited on these people. But rather she'd blame it on, we just want to be anti-Trump. So I'm bringing up her name again because she is an editorial writer for the Oregonian. She's in there about once a month. Her name is Elizabeth Hoved, and she's written a really kind of glowy, rosy-colored glasses talk about Joy Gibson stating that he's not at all dangerous and he just believes in speech when we know they've been arrested for attempting, you know, members of his group have been arrested for attempting to drive into people with his car. So that's another issue that we're talking about. So we've been talking about the city council and the good news that yesterday they defeated the proposed ordinance to limit demonstrations. Everybody says there's still a lot more to do to figure out how to maintain safety and order in our streets and still have our freedom and civil rights. I think that's an ongoing tension we will have in the city, and I don't know that there are solutions that aren't unconstitutional in that they try to limit our ability to express ourselves. One thing they could do is actually try to arrest the people who commit the real violence. So I want to thank all of you who have called in today. I want to thank all of you listeners. I know we had some rough times with technology earlier in the hour, and you stuck with us, and I appreciate that very much. This is Linda Olson Osterlund. I've been speaking on Voices from the Edge, and this used to be Joanne Hardesty's show, and it may be again. I believe we're going to have her back at least on an intermittent basis, and we'll find out more about that as it goes along. Thank you all again for listening, and for all of you who are members for supporting KBOO Portland.
Don't give up the fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. Is it all that glitter is gold? After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on, get up.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Radioland. I am Eldridge Cleaver, the former Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio. I want you to listen to and support KBOO, because Portland needs it, you need it, and the world needs it. Ubalagani, boing boing.
Love songs. Well, we think this is one of the